can't handle the truth.
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
You're gonna need a bigger potion.
Do I feel lucky?
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
That's it, man. Game over, man. Game over.
Welcome back to another episode of Through the Lens. Unlike last week when I had to call in emergency backup help in the form of Marsha, we have the return of...
Tracy.
This is Darren, and we are taking up another installment of a Through the Lens tradition.
With Tracy and Darren.
Wow, it's Darren and Tracy. But I guess that's the set. The first tradition is fighting over the name, who gets first billing.
Yeah.
The second annual tradition is our Oscar show. And if you have listened to us since our days on WDLR radio, we typically go through, come up with a game of guessing who's going to win the Oscars with stakes. In the past, the stakes have been the winner could opt out of a movie they did not want to watch. But Tracy came up with the idea this year of reversing it. The winner gets to make the other person watch a movie they don't want to watch. And there's no outs, right, Tracy? Like, if you lose, you have to watch it.
I have to watch it.
Now, Tracy can make these stakes with some degree of certainty because have we been doing this for like 8 years now?
Probably eight, yeah.
I have never won an Oscar show challenge because I vote with my heart, not my head. I haven't seen half the movies and I don't like most of them, so I lose hard. But this might be the year.
Might be the year.
So here's how the game's going to work this year. We're going to go through all the major categories. We're going to each get to draft a winner, and we're going to take turns who gets to go first. So I might stumble into Tracy's pick without her knowing it, but probably not.
Mm-hmm.
But we're also going to talk about the films in it and why we think the performances are good and stuff like that. Tracy probably will hold back who thinks she's going to win, so I don't draft them. But we'll start out with the – do you want to go big to low or low to big?
Low to big.
So which category you want to do first.
You want to do best animated feature because we always do that one.
Yeah, that's a fun one. This is an interesting category because I think it's relatively new. And then there used to be a lot more people doing animated features. And mm-hmm. so like back when Pixar was not part of Disney and you had Illumination and what's the other one? DreamWorks has a studio. And
yeah.
So there was just a lot coming out. And then I think it started getting watered down. And what was the Will Smith movie with fish? It was like came out the same time as Nemo.
What?
There was some crappy animated Shark's Tale maybe or something.
Oh, where he was with the Spider-Man?
Something like it was an animated movie that like they needed to fill the spots and you're like, this movie is not a Best Picture candidate. We might have to look it up after this. But in any case, it's an interesting category, and now I think it's shifted more towards a lot of foreign films fill up the rosters.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go over what is nominated for Best Animated Feature, Tracy?
Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, Robot Dreams, Nimona, Elemental, and The Boy and the Heron.
Boy and the Heron you had here, that is an international film, correct?
Correct.
Elemental is the Pixar movie?
Yeah.
That's like that movie is kind of interesting. I never got to see it, but it bombed when it first came out. And then it just had legs and just kept going forever. And it actually became a pretty big hit.
Yes.
So that might be a surprising thing. I mean, Tracy knows which one I'm going to get to pick if I pick first.
Yeah, you pick first.
You're going to give me the first pick this time?
Yeah, I know what you're picking.
All right. Well, with my pick, because A, I saw it. B, I have banked my hopes and dreams on the Marvel Cinematic Universe many times and failed. I came close with Black Panther that year, but I did not get it. I'm going to pick Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. It actually was a very good movie, but also Marvel's going to deliver me eventually. So that's my pick, Tracy. What is your pick? And I know you strategically did that because you know what's going to win, and it wasn't that. You play the game to win. I know this.
I'm going to pick The Boy and the Heron.
Surprising.
No, it's not surprising. It's already won. Best Animated Feature in one of the other award shows, and it is supposedly Miyazaki's last picture, but I guess now he's going to do another one. And I guess Robert Pattinson, his voice acting in this movie rivals Robin Williams' voice acting in Aladdin.
Okay, you just dumped a lot of information there. So first of all, I forgot to tell people, or when I agreed to do this contest for the 8th year in a row, I forgot that not only do you watch all the movies, but you like watch the other award shows, and it's sort of your job to follow this stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely at a disadvantage. So that part I forgot.
But Spider-Man won at another award show.
Okay, so I'm not crazy.
No, you're not crazy.
Now, what is crazy is this comment you made about Robert Pattinson being compared to Robin Williams as the genie, because that is like the iconic voice acting role.
Yes.
Like, that is like the... Because like a lot of times, they don't bring much to it. That is like the role where you're like, this guy went all in. And it's basically Robin Williams' stream of consciousness doing his thing, but it's a great role. You'd think... All right, bold claims.
Yeah, he just keeps getting better. He was a joke, you know, with Twilight, but every role, he just gets better.
All right, animated features out of the way. Do you want to pick another category?
Best international film.
Oh, God. Okay, you're going to pick first on this one, because I have not seen any of these. Best international feature film. Tracy, why did you pick this category? Because we don't... I'm not criticizing, I'm just curious. We don't tend to watch all of it. Go ahead and pick it. I'm just like, what interests you about international feature films? Because here's my observation. Some of the international films in recent years have crossed over and been named Best Picture in regular category.
Correct.
But, so talk to me about what your thoughts are on the international feature films category. I don't think I've seen any of them. Which is okay.
Yes. I have heard of three of them, and I have seen one of them.
And you're not going to tell me because you get to draft first anyway this time.
Yeah, I'm going with The Zone of Interest.
Do you know what it's about?
Yeah, it's about the Holocaust.
Oh, well, that's probably going to win then.
I think that one will win. It is also up for Best Picture. I don't think it will win in that category.
So your strategy is good because if a movie is in the Best Overall Picture category, it has a better chance of winning the smaller category.
Yeah.
I'm going to go by titles. The titles are Lo Capitano. Don't know what that means, so can't vote for that.
Perfect My Captain.
Oh, okay. Still not voting for it. Perfect Days. That seems too cheesy to me. It's probably a great movie. Society of the Snow from...
That's one I've heard of.
You've heard that one?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go crazy because you know what? I feel like if I'm going to win this thing, it's going to have to be a... I'm going The Teacher's Lounge.
The
Teacher's Lounge from Germany, because I've been to school and I always wondered what happened in the Teacher's Lounge, so maybe this movie will tell me.
Just watch Abbott Elementary and you'll
here's
it
the
out.
Problem. I have a scary feeling if I lose, I'm going to be stuck watching the Teacher's Lounge as part of this bet. But, especially if I lose by one.
Okay.
All right, so let me pick a category here. Ooh, I'm doing this. We don't usually do this, but I'm doing it.
Go ahead.
Best Original Song.
Oh, that's easy.
I don't know if it's easy, but I like the category, and I get to pick first. No, I don't want to pick first because I don't know the answer.
I know the answer.
Son of a gun. Okay, I'm picking a different... Nope, I did it.
No, you already did it.
So here's why I picked Best Original Song. Movies are great. I love them, but oftentimes a song is kind of that crucial element. We talk about soundtracks a lot when we review movies.
Yeah.
And some songs, like the Titanic song, kind of cross over and make the movie like a big thing. And so some years you kind of know what it is, the Bodyguard song.
Yeah.
Although, wasn't there a controversy because that was a remake and it couldn't get nominated for Best Original Song?
I don't know.
I Will Always Love You, I think, is like a Dolly Parton song, and she remade it, and so it wasn't the Best Original Song, so the... I will always... Anyway, songs are...
Written by the Bee Gees.
Okay, cool. And if you get stuck, I mean, if you get the opportunity to watch the Oscars program, they usually mix in a performances of all these songs, right?
Yes.
My favorite of that was when somehow the South Park song Blame Canada got nominated. That was awesome.
Yeah.
So anyway, the songs are, there's one from Flamin' Hot, which I believe was like a Disney Channel movie.
Okay, never heard of it.
It's about the Flamin' Hot Cheetos and the guy who made the sauce. I'm Just Ken from Barbie.
Yeah.
It Never Went Away from American Symphony, which I've never seen. Wahazizi, a song for my people from Killers of the Flower Moon.
Yeah.
And What Was I Made For from Barbie. So you say it's obvious.
It's so obvious because after I saw the movie, I'm like, that's Best Original Song.
Huh. Because there's two Barbie. I'm just thinking like a game theory here. There's two Barbie songs, so they're going to cancel each other out.
No, there's only one.
No,
oh, yeah.
There's,
oh, yeah.
I'm Just Ken. Yeah. So, like, how do you pick which one you're really excited about?
This is a no-brainer to me.
Well, I know you're smarter than I am, but I'm going to pick against my heart because this is the movie I saw and I hated it, which means it's going to try to mess with me.
Yep.
I'm picking that Flower of the Moon song.
Killers of the Flower Moon?
Yeah.
The Waza Hockey?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm picking it. And I did see the movie. Didn't like it. So now you're left with the movie either that I stole your choice or...
Didn't steal my choice. What I Was Made For from Barbie.
Man, you just mind games me because I thought that's what it was going to be, but then you made it was obvious, so I was going to... Oh, Tracy, you're too smart at this game. But this is set up perfectly.
Yeah.
Because either way now, Killers of the Flower Moon is going to just mess with me because I hated it so much. This is the new...
Maybe I should make you watch it again.
Oh, my God. Please, win.
Or maybe I should make you watch Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Oh, this is rivaling that with me. Okay, you get to pick the next category. And you get to go first.
Should we go to, like, the...
I mean, I think you either do some of the supportings or you could do screenplay, I think would be fair.
Okay.
Because screenplay is a big one.
Yeah, screenplay is a big one. Let's do...
And we're going to get them all, Tracy, so, you know, in the interest of, like, not losing listeners, you're going to have to pick one.
Let's do best adapted screenplay.
Adapted screenplay. Okay, while I look through my list to find it, you're going to have to explain to me, because you're in the biz, what makes it an adapted screenplay?
An adapted screenplay is something that is written from another source.
Like a book?
A book, a play, an excerpt from a newspaper article, that kind of thing.
Fun fact... I believe the original Top Gun was based on, like, an article or a book.
Regular Top Gun?
Like the Tom Cruise one.
Huh.
There was an issue about whether the rights to adapt it had expired by the time they did Top Gun Part 2.
Oh.
That's a fun fact. I mean, I'm not really giving you firm facts, but I remember reading that. So, okay, best adapted screenplay. I will go through the nominees. This is interesting. Oh, okay, this is ridiculous. So, American Fiction, based on the novel Erasure by Percival Everett. Barbie, based on characters created by Ruth Handler. So it's an adapted screenplay if you base it on a toy? Sure. Oppenheimer, based on the biography American Prometheus, The Triumph and Tragedy of J. Robert Oppenheimer.
I read the book.
Poor Things, based on the novel by Alasdair Gray. And The Zone of Interest, based on the novel by Martin Amis. You have wisely picked first, so you get to pick the choice here. I mean, I think I know what you're going to pick. You're struggling.
I'm struggling because I'm trying not to let Oscar politics make me pick one thing.
Well, since you get to pick first, let's just go in your mind. Like, if I was picking first, you wouldn't want to reveal it, but what are you struggling with?
The two?
What is this issue of the politics?
Oh, the politics is, like, a lot of times they... won't have best picture and best director be the same because, and best screenplay, because usually the director has had a hand in writing it. So they split them up to, you know, make more movies get recognized. Sometimes they do it that way.
So what you're saying is you're trying to avoid what you think is going to win best picture because you don't think it'll double. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, I do think it will double win. But
well, then just pick it. Pull the Band-Aid off. I mean, I know you're going Oppenheimer.
That's where I'm going, Oppenheimer.
I mean, I was thinking, are you overthinking it? I think that's probably the right call. I did not see it, but based on the popularity.
But that could win, too, well, because she's not nominated
for... That's why I wanted to get into your politics, because I was thinking you were overthinking Barbie.
Yeah.
Because Barbie didn't get some nominations they thought they were going to get, right?
Yep.
So the question is this the consolation prize?
Exactly.
But it seems... I'm struggling with it, because it seems weird, and I get to pick second. My instinct is to pick Barbie, but I'm also like, this would be sort of the dumbest category to give it to, because you didn't really adapt it from anything but a... It'd be like Mr. Potato Head, adapted from a toy. Like, I don't...
Yeah.
Like, remember the movie Battleship?
Yeah.
With Rihanna?
Yeah.
That wasn't adapted from a toy, but it would be in this category. But I think in terms of, like, if they're going to throw them a bone, I mean, I can't see, like, the Zone of Interest beating out these two movies.
Mm-mm, so me neither.
I guess I got to go Barbie, but I just feel like it's going to win something, but not that. But I was going to go Oppenheimer, so I'll pick the other thing you were struggling with. If we both get shut out and it's... You know, Poor Things by Tony McNamara. We'll have to go read the book by Alistair Gray, I guess.
Or American... It could be American Fiction, too. I mean...
Could be anything.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to pick a category. Do you want to start getting the acting stuff?
Yeah.
All right. So, We'll go Best Supporting Actor.
Okay.
Best Supporting Actor. The nominees are Sterling K. Brown, who we know from that show that everyone loved, This Is Us.
This Is Us, yep.
He's in American Fiction.
He was also in Black Panther. There's your Marvel reference.
He might be my choice then. Robert De Niro in Killers of the Flower Moon. Robert Downey Jr. in Oppenheimer. Ryan Gosling as Ken in Barbie. And Mark Ruffalo, not Hulk, in Poor Things as Duncan Wedderbum. I had to say Wedderbum. So before we get in your pick, you do get to pick. Oh, no, I get to pick first this time.
You pick first.
Oh, shoot. I don't really know. So let's talk about this. You don't have to reveal anything, but I didn't particularly like Robert De Niro in Killers of the Flower Moon, but I didn't like the movie at all. And I don't know if I'm putting my glasses on, like if that's blinding my thing, because I think he just kind of did his thing.
He always just does his thing. I mean,
Robert De Niro has a thing now.
Yeah.
He's not like playing cross type. He's just doing what he does.
Kind of like Al Pacino in The Screaming.
Exactly like that. They're both kind of caricatures in themselves at this point. Here's my thinking on Ryan Gosling. I did not see Barbie. I was in Comic-Con. He probably did an awesome job. I feel like the world might explode if he wins, because wasn't the whole crisis that like the girls didn't win?
He didn't. She didn't. Margot Robbie didn't get nominated.
And neither did Gerwig.
Right.
So like, I feel like even Barbie might get mad if he wins, because they're like, so I don't think I can go for him, because I think there's something would be weird about that. You talked about politics. Mm. Like, even if he's the best, are they really going to be like, sorry, Margot Robbie, you're right, Gerwig. I just don't see him doing it. This is going to sound weird. I kind of feel like I want to go Robert Downey Jr. It's probably not a great pick, but he's got a nice story. You're looking at me like I'm
crazy. This is one of the few categories to me that's a lock. Robert Downey Jr. has won the BAFTA, the SAG, Golden Globe.
So I lucked
Critics
into one.
Choice.
I lucked
yes.
into one because
he
I like Marvel.
Win.
I lucked into one because I like Iron Man.
Yeah, he'll win.
So when she looked at me, you can't see this because it's audio. She looked at me like something crazy happened.
Yeah.
And I thought it was crazy because I picked the very worst one. But she looked at me because I was crazy because I accidentally picked the very right one.
Yeah.
So you have to pick one that's not Robert Downey Jr. What's your
what
second
do you
choice?
Mean I have to pick. No.
I picked Robert.
No,
I had first.
No. No, that's who I'm picking.
I had first.
Yeah, but that's who I think is gonna win.
You can't break the rules. You cannot break the rules.
I'm not gonna play then.
You're not gonna lose the whole competition because I'm gonna get a point from Robert Downey Jr.
Well, he's gonna win.
I know, but it's a total category. I guessed it. That was my pick. I got to go first. You shouldn't have let me do that one. You gotta go second.
Just so everybody that's listening knows that he's a lock in my book. Robert Downey Jr. will win Best Supporting Actor.
If I win this competition, I've already said it's because of luck or something weird happening. And we all have it on the record that you love Robert Downey Jr.
Well, so
I got to pick this category first. You get to pick the next category first. Pick a good one. You shouldn't have told me to pick. I actually didn't tell. I just did it on my own. I got lucky.
Okay, so I have to pick someone different?
Yes!
I don't know why you're changing the rules.
That's the rules! The first person picks first!
I get one
inkling of potential success and Tracy loses her mind.
I'll go Mark Ruffalo.
All right. If Mark Ruffalo wins and I lose by 1 point, I'm going to probably have to punch you. Okay.
You're not going to lose.
All right, you could pick the category. Perhaps you should pick one where you're confident and you get to pick first this time. If I win by 1 point because of Robert Downey Jr., I'm going to be very happy, and you're definitely reading a book.
Well, okay, we'll do Best Supporting Actress.
Okay, now here's the nominees, because now we're getting to people we should recognize it. Emily Blunt, who, she was Mary Poppins, wasn't she?
Mm-hmm.
She's in Oppenheimer as Kitty Oppenheimer. Danielle Brooks, The Color Purple, as Sophia. America Ferrera as Barbie and Gloria, and I believe it was Gloria in Barbie, sorry. Jodie Foster as Bonnie Stahl in Naiad. I had not seen that movie. And Divine Joy Randolph as Mary Lamb in The Holdovers. You must be confident because you picked this category.
Well, like Robert Downey Jr., the winner of the Supporting Actor Award, Divine Joy Randolph has won the BAFTA, Critics' Choice, Golden Globe, you know, the SAG Award. She's won all of them. So my vote is for her.
it's going to be so hilarious if she does not win and this person wins.
She wouldn't be my pick out of all of those people, but, you know, she's won all the major awards. That's why I'm picking her.
That's smart. You're playing the game.
Yeah.
I play a different game. I play by my own rules. So uh-huh. I'm picking Jodie Foster because Jodie Foster filmed a movie called Little Man Tate in my hometown, and my brother screen tested to be the stand-in for Little Man Tate and got cut. So
Jeffrey?
Yeah, Jeff was like... So we talked about this.
Hey,
like,
Jeff.
Yeah, hey, Jeff. So because Jeff kind of almost got to like get... I think there's going to be like a mouth-to-mouth scene where he was choking in the pool or something. So he almost got to kind of meet Jodie. I don't know. There's a whole story about it. So Jodie Foster's my pick for no good reason other than 6 degrees of Schulbro separation. If she wins, I'm going to be very happy.
Okay.
And she was in, what's her major role? Silence of the Lambs.
Silence of the
Tell
Lambs.
Tell me his name, Doctor.
And that movie about UFOs, remember?
Yeah, I just always think of Silence
and
of the Lambs.
And Taxi Driver.
All right, so I'm going to pick a category. You know what? I'll let you know what, since you're mad at me from the last time, I still get to pick first this time, Tracy. But you can pick the category for me to pick first. Because you're still mad about Robert Downey Jr. And I don't know the difference anyway.
Best actress.
Okay, best actress. Annette Bening as Naiad. In Naiad as Diana Naiad. So it must be about her. Lily Gladstone, Killers of the Flower Moon as Molly Burkhart. Sandra, I'm going to mispronounce this, Hewler, Anatomy of the Fall as Sandra Voiter. That's kind of ironic.
Mm-hmm.
Carrie Mulligan as Felicia Montalegre in Maestro. And Emma Stone in Poor Things as Bella Baxter. You get to pick first. No, I get to pick first.
You pick first.
All right. This is going to be pretty easy for me because I'm, again, going to pick things that will make me miserable. Here's my thing. I thought Lily Gladstone was the worst acting performance I've seen all year. She had no emotion, didn't really connect, had no chemistry with Leonardo DiCaprio, hated the performance, enraged that this got nominated. I'm drafting it because they're going to poke me in the eye and give it to Lily Gladstone. Locked in. Did I get lucky? You think she's going to win? I didn't think she was good, but this life messes me up, man.
I liked her performance.
By the way, Lily Gladstone, if you're hearing this, don't hate me.
I liked her performance. I've seen 4 of the 5 movies that are in this category. So here's what I think.
Yeah, what do you think, Tracy?
With the other awards, Lily Gladstone and Emma Stone sort of cancel each other out because they both won the Golden Globe because they do drama.
They break it by like movie
they break
category.
It, yeah, they okay. break it up by movie category. And then one of them won for, I forget, the Critics' Choice, and the other one won for another major. So I think the two are going to cancel each other out, and I'm just going to go with...
I mean, you know what I would pick if I were you? For some reason, Annette Bening seems to be doing pretty well on these things. Didn't see the movie.
Well, I didn't see the movie either. That's the one I did not see. But I have friends in the industry that say that she is phenomenal in Naiad. So I am going to pick Annette Bening.
I was going to pick her, except I just figured like the Once Upon a Time in Hollywood effect. Lily Gladstone's just going to poke me in the eye. But Annette Bening's like become like a grand dame of acting. She's done a few of these Oscar-type movies.
I think this is the hardest one to pick. Anyone literally could win it in that category. Anyone could win it.
Emma Stone is kind of an interesting case for me because she's still kind of, she's probably not young anymore, but yeah. I think she's still early in her career, but she kind of keeps getting nominated, but it's always been that like, yeah, she's never going to win it sort of thing. But eventually, yeah. Eventually they're going to be like, she's been nominated 50 times and hasn't won. So I could definitely see her winning, but I just don't feel like she's got that you deserve it yet thing going.
Yeah, I think Annette Bening, you know, she's married to Warren Beatty, and she's been nominated so many times and hasn't won so many times. I kind of wonder if it's because of him.
Is he canceled or just not likable?
I don't know, but she's a really accomplished actress, so that's why I'm going with her.
That's an interesting story because you know this better than I do. He was like the thing, like 80s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like
he was.
Did the Dick Tracy movies, and I feel like when he married her, she was not the thing yet. And she has since
she did a couple movies, but she wasn't the thing.
And since he's kind of disappeared, she's actually become like a legit actress. And I'm not gonna say movie star, like she's not the one you put in Jurassic World to sell a lot of money, but she's been nominated a bunch of times for very meaty roles.
Yeah.
So anyway, kudos to Annette Bening. I hope you win on this one, Tracy. I'm sort of cutting my losses here. I picked one I hope loses just so I can be happy either way. Let's just move to Best Actor and you get to pick first.
Okay.
You want to go through the nominees?
Yes.
Bradley Cooper as Maestro. Oh, in Maestro as Leonard Bernstein. Every time I hear that, I think of the song by Billy Joel. We Didn't Start the Fire. Doesn't he go, Leonard Bernstein? Sorry. Coleman Domingo as Rustin as Bayard Rustin. Paul Giamatti as Paul. Why do they keep naming the guys the same name? Paul Hunnam in The Holdovers. Cillian Murphy as Oppenheimer in Oppenheimer. Jeffrey Wright in American Fiction as Thelonious Monk Ellison.
Well, I think this is another one that is pretty easy to get. Only other person...
And you get to pick first, so enjoy it.
Well, I'm going with...
writing it in without even hearing it.
Cillian Murphy as Oppenheimer. He will get it. It's his time. He's been working with Christopher Nolan for 20 years. If you haven't seen the movie Oppenheimer, you really need to because he really brought that character to life and he was very expressive. He will win.
He was also a Scarecrow in Batman. Just throw that out there.
Yeah, just throw just it throw out there.
So I haven't seen Paul Giamatti, but he usually kind of plays... Little sort of over-the-top caricature of himself. I mean, he's a pretty good actor, but he's a character actor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jeffrey Wright was from Westworld. He's got a voice. He's very... he's a pretty good actor. I enjoy his work.
He's good.
Bradley Cooper, I think, might be falling in the Emma Stone thing where it's like he's a good actor, but he's in kind of like popular stuff like Hangover, and he might not have that like he needs to win it thing. So I'm using Process of Elimination, and I'm going Jeffrey Wright.
Ooh, nice pick.
I don't feel confident on that, but I think if there's going to be an upset, Bradley Cooper's not stealing it from Oppenheimer. It's going to be Jeffrey Wright.
Yeah, that was an ego project for Bradley Cooper. And I think when people do those sorts of projects, they might get nominated a lot, but they never win.
We got two big ones left. Do we want to go there? Are there any other categories you want to hit before we hit the director and picture?
Let's see. Best sound, cinematography. Well, we know that's Oppenheimer.
Ooh, let's do best visual effects. Do I have that? That's always fun.
Yeah, let's do best visual effects. I'll read the nominees.
Yeah, and there's some actually good ones on there.
The Creator.
We reviewed that.
Yep.
This is getting into my categories here.
Godzilla Minus One. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
Oh, man, these are good choices.
Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1. And Napoleon.
Man, that's a loaded Darren category right there.
Except for Napoleon.
Yeah, but I mean, even that it's a historical epic, and it probably has big fight scenes and stuff. So I would probably rather watch that than Killers of the Flower Moon. I don't know. I will tell you. I've seen Guardians. I saw Mission Impossible. I saw The Creator. Godzilla is a Godzilla movie, but it was one from like Japan, right?
Yeah, it was really good, from what I understand.
I have a hard time seeing Godzilla getting the best visual effects, though, because if it looks like Godzilla, they've probably seen him before. I'm just using Process of Elimination. I think... You want to go first? You want me to go first?
It's your turn.
Is it going to sound... Okay, I'm going to go against type because I love Guardians of the Galaxy and the animals were cute and all that stuff, but they've done it before. I felt like The Creator really did some stuff that I had not seen with the way they did the robot... kid or whatever. So
yeah.
I'm going Creator. It's a little bit against what my soul tells me, but I think from a Oscar standpoint, that's probably the most visually interesting movie I've seen in a while. Tracy.
Well, that's what I was going to pick.
Boom!
Because it was pretty cool. You know what? I'm going to go with Godzilla Minus One.
Interesting. All right.
Yeah. It's against what I would typically go for. I would probably go for like Mission Impossible. But I think Godzilla Minus One, the movie, was a surprise hit. And I think that's part of the reason why.
Fair. All right. We've reached Best Picture, Best Director. These are sort of the big ones, right?
Yes.
This is what you wait past 11 o'clock because they're behind on the show to watch.
Yes.
This is where they give you the wrong envelope and someone gets fired.
Yes.
Didn't that happen once?
Yes.
I guess we got to do director first, right? Isn't that the way the order goes in the show?
Yep.
Justin Triet for Anatomy of a Fall, Martin Scorsese, Killer of the Flower Moon, Christopher Nolan, Oppenheimer, Yorgos Lanthimos, Poor Things, and Jonathan Glazer, Zone of Interest. You get to pick first, and I don't think you care what I say, but my guess would be it's coming between Flower Moon and Oppenheimer, right?
Best Director, Christopher Nolan.
You're going there?
I'm going there.
I don't think that's a bad choice from what I've heard. I don't like Christopher Nolan's movies anymore, but I told you I like Memento. And after that, he's just been kind of like off the rails.
Oh, you need to re-see those.
Inception was okay. It was pretty good.
Okay?
It hung together pretty well. And then it started, and then Interstellar lost it. You know I hated Dunkirk.
I know you hated Dunkirk. I
didn't like the Christopher Nolan Batman movies. I know I'm not having one. The editing was bad. Okay, so here's my dilemma, Tracy. You put me in a box.
Mm-hmm.
Not only did I not enjoy Killers of the Flower Moon, I felt it was overly long and lacked any direction. So it's kind of hard for me to say Scorsese's going to get it. But it's the only other movie I could see possibly winning, right? I mean, I just can't see them giving it to Zone of Interest. You're not going to tip me off to anything because you're Tracy and you want to win more than you want to educate me.
Well, in this category, if Christopher Nolan doesn't get it, I know what I would go with.
I guess I'm going Scorsese. Now you can tell us your second choice. Who do you think is going to get it if Nolan doesn't get it? I've drafted Killers of the Flower Moon's director.
I'm thinking Poor Things, dude.
You think?
Yeah, there were, you know, it was, Poor Things was nominated, I think, 11 times, and Oppenheimer was nominated 13, but then we have five movies that were nominated five times. Anatomy of a Fall is one, Zone of Interest is the other, and Killers of the Flower Moon is one of the other ones. American Fiction is the other. So I'm trying to think like, well, maybe we can give it to someone that was nominated five times if Oppenheimer doesn't win.
So my thinking behind The Killer of the Flower Moon is, I feel like if you're gonna throw a movie award to somebody based on their name and their reputation, it's gonna be director.
Yeah.
Like, and Scorsese is like,
yeah,
the guy. Like, you're not gonna throw best editing to them. You're gonna throw them that. So that, I didn't like the movie, and I thought it was really poorly directed. But I think that I would have gone Oppenheimer, even though I don't like Nolan. But I think he's going to win. So, Best Picture. Now, here's my question: in recent years, since we've been doing this show, they expanded the Best Picture category to 10 films.
Yeah.
Well, up to 10, I guess it
is. Up to 10.
So, in this year, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There's 10. So, here's my question for you, Tracy: do you want to draft two teams each?
Two picks?
Yeah. Gives you double your chance to get something. I mean, you would pick one, I'd pick one, you'd pick one, I'd pick one. Or you just do one. It's just you have a 1 in 10 chance, but both might get shut out.
I like picking two.
All right, we'll pick two. Who picks first this category?
You pick first.
Okay.
I'll read the nominees.
All right, do it.
American Fiction. Anatomy of a Fall.
Your voice is much more Oscar-y. Mm-hmm. You sound like the one who reads it on the broadcast. Sorry.
Barbie. The Holdovers. Killers of the Flower Moon. Maestro. Oppenheimer. Past Lives. Poor Things. And The Zone of Interest.
As you were saying that, I envisioned like a really weird random clip showing up on the screen. You know how they read it on the Oscars and it's like some, you know. All right, so I get to pick first. I have not heard a single bad thing about Oppenheimer. Didn't see it, but no one's complained about it. It didn't cause any controversy. It was part of the Barbenheimer revolution that saved movie theaters and blockbusters. I feel like obviously Barbie is part of that, but Barbie doesn't have the same subject matter gravitas that this has. So unless they're going to try to make a statement like, sorry, we screwed up, I would put the scales on Oppenheimer. So that's my first pick.
Barbie won Best Cinematic Achievement, which was a brand new award at the Golden Globes. And some of these movies, well, it was Barbie, Oppenheimer, Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning.
That's the weirdest category I've ever heard.
Well, it was a brand new category.
I mean, putting those three movies together.
Yeah. And something else. I forget. Now, since we get two picks, could I pick something that you picked?
No, you got to pick two new ones. You know what? Since I went first, though, you get to pick two, and then I get to pick fourth. You can pick two new movies in a row.
But I want Oppenheimer to win.
Well, I know, but I got to go first. You got to pick two other ones.
That's not fair. Because, okay, everyone, you need to remember that that's what I picked. Oppenheimer. They're going to win Best Picture.
Fine, but if it's not Oppenheimer, I'm giving you two next choices. Because there's upsets. You get the best chance of the next best thing. By the way, are you proud of me for coming up with that answer on my own without having seen it or read anything?
Yeah, you really need to see it, Darren.
Okay, so anyway, what are you picking? You get two films. You shouldn't look this pained.
I just don't know what to pick.
I mean, you can write in the Dead Reckoning on there if you want.
I'm not going to write in Dead Reckoning. I would say it's not what I would pick because everyone knows I would pick Oppenheimer, but I would say Killers of the Flower Moon.
All right.
And I would also say this is tough because I'm leading towards a political vote versus, you know, something else.
Would it help if I told you what my next pick would be?
No.
Not that I know anything.
I guess I would. I don't want to go with it, but I guess I'll go Barbie.
Well, Tracy, in the fantasy football world, you just messed up my handcuff. So you draft the number one pick and you draft their backup. So I was going to draft Barbie because then I would have both ends of Barbenheimer. So I don't know if they will win, but that's who I would have picked second. So I'm kind of torn here because I haven't heard much buzz about these other movies. I'm sure you have. Like, I didn't even know this Maestro movie came out. What's the story with that?
It's an ego project for Bradley Cooper. They talked about the nose, the prosthetic that he wore. It's just about Leonard Bernstein and how, you know, he operated and how intense he was and his relationship with his wife, even though, you know, he cheated. And
does it talk about the Billy Joel song?
No.
So here's my concern. I see that Steven Spielberg had some role with the Maestro. Was he the producer or something?
He was a producer, yeah.
I'm wondering if that gives me any more chance as my fourth pick of this draft to give me an upset win. But that seems kind of stupid because I've never even heard of the movie. Picking Spielberg's name on. Although, all right, I'm going to go.
Anatomy of a Fall was really great. American Fiction was really great.
What's American Fiction about?
It's about a guy, Jeffrey Wright, who really, he's a writer, and he hates when people write about...
Oh, did he write something purposely bad and then it got famous or something?
Yes.
I'm going with that, because that sounds like a cool concept.
Yeah.
And I picked Jeffrey Wright earlier, so I'm doing a different kind of handcuff. He is my best actor, so if that upset happens, then there might be an upset in Best Picture. It'll be the crushing of Barbenheimer at the expense of Jeffrey Wright and American Fiction.
Okay.
All right, so what happens is the show is this Sunday, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So you have our picks. We will score them up afterwards. Tracy will lodge a protest if I somehow manage to win because I have lucked into some of her picks without even knowing it. And
yes,
she wanted to change the rules of the game. But hopefully she'll be a graceful loser, and when I make her watch Smurfs The Lost Village 2, she will do so.
Electric Boogaloo.
So anyway, we'll be back hopefully with another review next week, but until then, enjoy the Oscars.